It's certainly good to see you this morning. I know we have several visitors with us, and we want you to know that you are indeed our delighted guest, and we would love for you to stay after services so we could get to know you a little bit better. Want to invite you to come back every opportunity that you have to be with us. For Christians, this is an exciting day. According to Revelation 1, verse number 10, this is the Lord's day. This is the day that we come together as the people of God and we worship God in spirit and in truth. According to John 4, verse 23 and verse 24, God is seeking those who will worship Him in spirit and truth. And so it is our duty, it is our obligation to strive to give to God what He is seeking as we worship Him in spirit and in truth. This is also an exciting week. As you know, this coming Thursday will be Thanksgiving. And I like this time of the year. By the way, I actually have a 3-point sermon on the subject of Thanksgiving. And each word that I use in this lesson begins with the letter F. Family, food, and football, okay? When I think about Thanksgiving, I think about those three things. Family, food, and football. And there's nothing wrong with spending time with family and eating and watching a little football. I think growing up, that's pretty much what we've done over the years during Thanksgiving. Well, as we think about this coming Thursday, this holiday we celebrate as Thanksgiving, somebody may come along and ask the question, and I think it's a good question, a question that certainly deserves an answer. Somebody might ask the question, well, as a Christian, is there anything wrong with observing holidays like Thanksgiving because of what the Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 4, verse number 10, when the Apostle Paul told the brethren in Galatia, you observe days and months and times and years. Now, when you look at the context, Paul wasn't commending them for this. In fact, he was rebuking them because they observed days, months, times, and years. But when you look at the context of what Paul is saying in Galatians chapter 4, verse number 10, these days, these months, these times, and these years were associated with Jewish holidays. Again, they were associated with holy days and seasons under the Mosaic regime. And so in essence, what Paul is saying there in Galatians chapter 4, verse number 10 is this. You don't mix Judaism with Christianity. Christianity doesn't mix with any philosophy or religious system devised by mankind. You know, there is nothing wrong with Christians observing and celebrating some of the holidays that are popular in our society as long as we don't take those special times, those holidays, and try to turn them into a religious observance like we see the Galatians doing in Galatians chapter 4, verse number 19. You know, when I think about the concept of Thanksgiving, I love this holiday. I love this time of the year. I believe for the most part, even the world pauses and expresses gratitude toward God. And I think as Christians, we should learn to build upon that, because you and I both know that there's a lot of negative things going on in our world today. And I think it's good for the world to be positive in that sense, and to take time to express their gratitude for the things that God has given His people, that He gives us as a people, generally speaking. Everybody in the world benefits because of God. Even though the world refuses to acknowledge God in a lot of ways, everybody in the world benefits from God. You remember Jesus talks about this in Matthew chapter 5. He causes the sun to rise on the just and on the unjust. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. And so we see in a very practical way, everybody in this world, whether they like it or not, benefits from the goodness of God. And I believe it's good that people will stop and at least think about God. And so I like this idea of thanksgiving. But there is no question that we as the people of God express our gratitude, our thanksgiving to God on a daily basis, not just one time out of the year, but it's something that we should do all of the time. And the Bible repeatedly stresses the importance of giving thanks to God. Let me share a few passages with you that really encourage us to be a thankful people. Some of the passages we'll turn to, but I want to begin in Psalm 50, verse number 14, where the psalmist says, "Offer unto God thanksgiving." Now, when you turn to the book of Psalms, the book of Psalms can be classified with various psalms. You have penitent psalms, you have imprecatory psalms, you have praise psalms. And again, these different classifications help us study through the book of Psalms. But one classification that you will find throughout the book of Psalms is that classification of thanksgiving, where the psalmist is encouraging the righteous to offer up thanks to God. Again, this is something that we need to do on a continual basis. And Psalm 92 verse 1 would be another example of a thanksgiving psalm. In Psalm 92 verse number 1, the psalmist declared, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto God." Anytime we talk about being a thankful people, we learn from inspiration. We learn from God's holy word that this is a good thing when we express our gratitude toward God. We learn in James chapter 1, verse number 17, every good gift comes from above. Blessings descend. Gratitude from the people of God should ascend up before God on a continual basis. You go back to Psalm 50, verse number 14, and you'll notice that terminology. We are to offer unto God thanksgiving. Throughout the Old Testament, we read about various offerings. We turn to the book of Leviticus. We read about the burnt offering. We read about the meal offering. We read about the trespass offering, the peace offering, the sin offering. Well, here is an offering that we are to offer up to God. We are to offer up our thanks to Him, because He has been so good to us. In fact, I believe this is the attitude, the disposition that we should have when we worship our God. And what a privilege it is to be able to worship God. If you would, open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5 and let me show you what I'm talking about. Again, the attitude that we are to have when we praise God, we are to be a thankful people. In Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul says in verse number 19, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Brother Tom just led us in several spiritual songs, singing and making melody, plucking the heart, praising God. Look at verse number 20, "giving thanks always for all things. Friends, this is the attitude that we need to have when we worship God. And when we approach God with a thankful spirit, with a thankful disposition, it really adds something to our worship, doesn't it? As we sing these songs of praise, we do so with thankful hearts as we express our gratitude and as we express our appreciation to God. Let me share another verse, if you would. Turn over to the book of Philippians. Again, this is the attitude that should describe us when we pray to God. We see the attitude when we worship, when we sing songs, but we see the same attitude here in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6, where Paul says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything," Paul says, "but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Notice again the attitude, with thanksgiving. That is, when we bring our prayers before the throne of God, and what a privilege it is to be able to even approach a holy and just and righteous God. This is something that God welcomes. This is something that God delights in. In fact, in Proverbs 15, verse number 8, Solomon says, "The prayer of the upright is his delight." God delights when His children come before His throne in prayer, the language of Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. And because of the new covenant, and because every Christian is a priest, 1 Peter 2, verse 9, we have access to God. But how we approach God, the attitude that we have when we approach God in worship, whether we are singing, whether we're praying to God, should be an attitude of thanksgiving. God wants us to be a thankful people. Look at another passage, if you would, in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2. Again, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul is encouraging Christians to pray. And in fact, here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, he describes various kinds of prayer. Prayer of supplications, general prayers, prayers of intercession. You see, when we pray, we can intercede for one another. We can pray for one another's spiritual well-being. But notice the attitude that we approach God with. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1. "In supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." That's that thankful attitude that the Scriptures remind us to have when we worship God, when we sing psalms, when we pray to God. And as I said, this is something that we are to do continually. In Colossians chapter 4, verse number 2, Paul says, "Continue in prayer and watch with the same with thanksgiving." You pray, you be watchful. Paul says, you give thanks. In Colossians 3, verse number 17, a familiar passage that we always equate with Bible authority. "For whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord." But you go and look at that verse carefully. "With thanksgiving." Whatever we do in word or deed, we're to do it with the right attitude, with a thankful heart. And when we stop and think about what God has done, we have good reason to give thanks. Again, the psalmist said in Psalm 92, verse 1, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord." Thanksgiving should permeate our speech, our songs, our prayers. And I'm convinced that God reminds us concerning this truth over and over and over again, because sometimes we forget to thank Him. We are prone to forget to do the things that God wants us to do. And so giving thanks to God is something that we should do consistently as we worship, as we pray, in our personal devotion with God. As you think about the spirit of thanksgiving, we see throughout the Old Testament, even the New Testament, thanksgiving characterizes the righteous. It's one of those things that you will see from the Scriptures that characterize the righteous. And I want to share a few verses with you. If you would, go to the book of Psalms. Turn over to Psalms 28. Psalm 28. And notice with me Psalm 28, verse number 7. Psalm 28, verse 7. I believe you'll like this verse. That's why we are turning to it and reading it together. David says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise Him." Go back and circle the words strength, shield, and help. Those are things that God helps us with. In essence, David looked at his life and he realized that God helped him through life. And David's response was, "I'm going to praise Him. And I'm going to thank Him for the strength. I am going to thank Him for the protection. I am going to thank Him for the help that He gives me." In Psalm 46, verse 1, the psalmist declared that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. In the Hebrew, it carries the idea of God standing there with His arms open, ready to help His own. God is ready to help His children. He has always been there, ready to help His children. And so that's what I find from God. I find that source of strength that I need on a daily basis to live the Christian life. Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." You and I both know that the problems of this life, the trials, the temptations, they can be a burden. They can weigh us down, but the Lord picks us up. The Lord renews us. The Lord gives us that strength and the motivation that keeps us going. The Lord protects us. He's given us everything that we need to stand against the wiles, the craftiness of the devil who is trying to destroy us. David recognized that, and David's response was, "I'm going to thank Him." Thanksgiving, being a thankful people, describe the righteous. Look at this next example in the book of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, I'm going to begin reading at verse number 1. But I want you to pay attention to verse number 4. And I want you to consider what Moses commanded the Levites to do. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. "So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. When David had made an end of the offering of the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord, and he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, and to every one a loaf of bread and a good piece and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine." Look at verse number 4. "And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to give praise unto the Lord God of Israel." And so as this worship was being offered up unto God, as the burnt offering and the peace offering was being offered to God, the Levites were commanded to give praise, to give thanks to God. Again, it characterizes the righteous. When we think about the Levites. We think about God's priesthood. As I said, one of the benefits, one of the blessings that we have as New Testament Christians is that every Christian, 1 Peter 2, verse 9, is part of the priesthood of God. And as a priest, 1 Peter 2, verse 5, we are to offer up spiritual sacrifices. We are to offer up sacrifices, offerings. Not like they did. They offered up animal sacrifices. But we offer up, as we have already pointed out, the sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And when we offer up the sacrifice of praise unto God, it's a sweet fragrance. It's a sweet aroma that comes up before God. You go through the Old Testament. And when God's people offered sacrifices that were according to His will, according to what He outlined, when they did it without blemish, voluntarily, as He specified, every time you will find that language, it came up before God as a sweet aroma. When we give praise to God, when we offer up our praise to God, we have to realize that it comes up before God as a sweet aroma. It's something that God takes pleasure in when we approach Him with thankful hearts. Look at another example, if you would, in the book of Daniel. You will find these examples throughout the Old Testament. But even Daniel, listen to me, during difficult times, didn't forget to offer thanks to God. When you go to the book of Daniel, you remember that the presidents, the princes, became very jealous of Daniel, and they're going to, you remember, develop a plan to try to get the king to go against Daniel. And as the princes looked at Daniel, as they observed his life, they realized that the only way that they're going to find fault in Daniel was by creating a conflict between Daniel's religion and the king's law. And so you remember the story in Daniel chapter 6. We see in verse number 6, the presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto the king Darius, live forever. And all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Listen to verse number 10. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed and that what he was doing would go against the king, listen to what he did. He went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled down upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and notice, and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. The reason I'm mentioning that, even during trying times, even during difficult days, even when it seems like the world is falling apart and everything is going against us, we can still get on our knees and pray to God and give Him thanks. That should never change because of the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Oh, how we need to be reminded of how important it is to be a thankful people. And hopefully you see that through these examples, being a thankful person characterizes us as being a righteous person, because notice the contrast. The wicked are characterized in the Bible as being unthankful. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21, Paul says, when they knew not God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful. Go back to Romans chapter 1. And he's describing unbelievers. And you see the same thing in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 2. Paul is describing bad days, perilous times. And he says, evil men will be marked by their ungratefulness. And so as we think about being a thankful people, we see that it characterizes the righteous. We see that when it comes to the unrighteous, though, they don't thank God. That's why we want to thank God. As we turn to God's Word, we find reasons for why we should be thankful. What I want to do is I want to just give you a few reasons why we should give God thanks. The lesson will be yours. Like Daniel, we should give Him thanks all of the time, but we need to know what we should thank Him for. Why we should be a thankful people. These points come from the Scriptures. Let's begin in the book of Psalms. And I've got four or so that I'll give you, and then the lesson will be yours. Turn back, if you would, to Psalm 30. And as you read these passages with me, it becomes clear why we should thank God. In Psalm 30, verse number 4, listen to what the psalmist declared. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His. Give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. One of the things that makes us thankful for who God is His holiness, His attributes. Out of all of the attributes of God, there is only one attribute that is repeated consecutively. Holy, holy, holy is Lord God Almighty, Isaiah chapter 6. You won't find a Scripture that says that about God's love, about His righteousness. That doesn't diminish His love or His righteousness, but I do think it is interesting, and I do believe it's worthy to note that of all of the attributes, this is the only attribute that is repeated three times. Holy, holy, holy is God Almighty. Do you realize if God wasn't holy, Christianity would be meaningless? Do you realize if God wasn't holy, that there would be no value in Christianity, no worth? Do you realize that if God wasn't holy, that you and I wouldn't have any confidence or assurance of eternal salvation? Because God is holy, He is faithful, He is trustworthy. Everything that is good, everything that is righteous, wholesome, is because of God's holiness. And when we think about how holy He is, we should respond with thanksgiving. Holiness is important even for us as the children of God. Hebrews 12, verse number 14, without holiness, no man shall see God. We become holy when we obey the Word of God, when we obey the truth. Peter says, you have purified your soul in obeying the truth of the Spirit and the unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Again, we purify our soul. We become holy when we obey the Word of God, and we can continue to be holy as we live according to the Word of God. In 1 Peter 1, verse number 15, we are to be holy because He is holy. Look at, if you would, at Psalm 75, verse 1. Another reason for why we should offer thanks to our great God. Psalm 75, verse number 1. Unto Thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto Thee do we give thanks, for that Thy name is near, Thy wondrous works declare. We should thank God for His nearness. His nearness. He is not a God that is far away. He is a God that is near. You remember the language of James chapter 4, verse 8? You draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. We are as close to God as we have chosen to be. God wants to be near to His people. And because of His nearness, because of the communion and the fellowship that we have with God, again, we should thank Him. Turn over, if you would, to the book of Acts, still under this point. We were in the book of Acts chapter 17 last week. And you remember from Acts chapter 17, Paul is encouraging people to know God. Every person needs God in their life. And look at what Paul says in Acts chapter 17, verse number 27, as he speaks to the Epicureans and Stoics. He says that they should seek the Lord if happily they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. What's the point that Paul is making in this sermon? In this sermon, God is knowable. Because God is near, you can have an intimate relationship with a holy God. And that is certainly a blessing. To be able to know God, to have a relationship with Him, to be a friend of God. Listen, we can be an enemy of God, or we can choose to be a friend of God. If we choose to live contrary to God's will, we make ourselves an enemy of God, according to James chapter 4, verse number 4. But when we live according to His will, we can draw near to God. He can draw near to us, and we become a friend of God. And because God can become our friend, we offer our thanks to Him. Look, if you would, at the book of 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. And you can add to the list that I'm giving you. But here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Notice with me verse number 3. We are to be thankful. Reasons to give thanks. God is holy. God is near. We should thank God for the spiritual growth of others. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse number 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren. And then Paul is very specific. Because of your faith. Because of your love. Because of your steadfastness. Their perseverance. The point that Paul was making is these Christians were growing in the Lord. And Paul thanked God for their spiritual growth. All you have to do is go through the Scriptures and focus on this word, thanks, or thank God, and you'll see reasons for why we should thank Him. When we see others growing in the faith, when we see others being the people that God wants them to be, it's something that we should be mindful of. It's something that we should thank God for, because that is a beautiful sight. To see other Christians striving to be faithful. Because you look at the book of 1 and 2 Thessalonians. It wasn't easy for these brethren to be faithful. Paul established this congregation. And Paul had to leave the city because of persecution. But even during the midst of that adversity, those hardships, these Christians continued to grow spiritually speaking. And Paul says, we are bound to thank God for you always. Let's thank God for the spiritual growth of others. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Listen to what Paul says in verse 4. In verse number 5. We are to thank God for the mundane things of this life. Like food. For every creature of God is good. And nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Even the little things. Paul says we should thank God even for the little things, like the food that we eat. In fact, that's exactly what Jesus does in John chapter 16 when He fed the thousands. You remember before He broke the loaves of bread, He offered thanks to God for what the Father had supplied. Even for the little things. You know, we can sum up this lesson by turning over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. We are to give thanks in all things. in everything. That really sums up the Christian life. We should thank God every day for all that He has done. And the Scriptures give us plenty of things to thank Him for. Tonight when we come back, I know we're in the study of 1 Peter. Tonight we are actually going to do a continuation of what we've talked about tonight, because we want to mention one more thing tonight that we are to thank God for. And what we're going to look at is the sweet salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. As Paul would say in 2 Corinthians 9, verse number 15, thanks be unto God, okay, for the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. That's what we're going to talk about tonight, the salvation. And when we stop and think about the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus, it gives us reason to give Him thanks. I want to end our study this morning by turning back to the Old Testament, to the book of Hosea. On Wednesday nights, we are studying the book of Hosea. And we were studying Hosea chapter 7, chapter 7. But this morning, I want to go back to Hosea chapter 7. And I want to end by just looking at verse 14 and following, to the end of the chapter. In Hosea chapter 7, God is describing His own people that had become rebellious, that had become wicked, listen, that had become unthankful. It happened to them. It can happen to us. These things were written for our learning. Listen to what the prophet Hosea said long ago about God's own people. God is describing His people. They have not cried unto Me with their heart. When they hallowed upon their beds, they assemble themselves for corn and wine, and they rebel against Me. Though I have bound and strengthened their arms, yet do they not imagine mischief against Me. You'll notice that the people of God were assembling, but they weren't assembling to worship God and to express their gratitude for all that God has done. No, they were assembling to practice pagan worship, to worship these false images. And God says, they return not to Me. Verse number 16. To the Most High, they are like a deceitful bow. Go back to verse number 15. Though I have bound them and strengthened them, though I build them up, and even though I bless them, again they imagine mischief against Me. Probably the saddest commentary describing God's people, and it centers around what we're talking about this morning. God's people forgot to give Him thanks. And because they were ungrateful, you can see what they became. Let's be sure that we don't allow that to happen to us. Let's be sure that we take time to thank God, because we have so many things to thank Him for. As I said, one of the things that we will talk about tonight is the salvation that we have